I hope that all of you and everybody on Zoom had a wonderful chag, a wonderful series of chagim, and that you, like me, enjoyed family, because that's it. We want to say mazel tov to Tammy, who accomplished 2 great grandchildren. Am I right?
I didn't accomplish anything.
Oh, you most certainly did. It's a great accomplishment. 2 great grandchildren. Baruch Hashem. And may there be smachot for all, and may we hear besoro tovot, and only good things. This kind of thing we like. So bezrat Hashem, may we hear more of it. May there be births and weddings, and all that good stuff. And you know, we'll take a few bar mitzvahs and stuff like that. It's okay. We don't mind. We don't mind. So I want to remind you that it seems to be going on forever. Our lists of names. Hi, welcome. It's been very long. It's nice to see you, Tzivi.
Nice to see you.
I really miss you, miss seeing you. So Boker Tov and welcome. Maybe more people will still come in. We hope so.
Sherry's supposed to, but she got tied up in shul.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was she coming?
I was supposed to pick her up.
Uh-huh.
Do you want the sheet on the table there?
Excuse?
Do you want the table covering that you
use? What is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but let's learn. Okay.
Like
why don't we do that? Thank you. It's a little bit abnormal, isn't
no,
it?
I love
just a bit.
Abnormal.
It has some, you know, shtiklach on top. We had a little problem, but okay. There's always problems in life, yes. At any rate, we have kind of been stuck on lists of names, and it seems like it's interminable. There she is. The Mechatenet is coming, I tell you. I'm sorry. I don't know what we're going to do with this recording. They are not going to be happy with this recording. It has no dignity. This recording has no dignity whatsoever. And so now we are going to put on the dignified hat, and let's go. Because we are in the middle of Perakei in Divrei Hayamim. We have gone through a very convoluted recitation of the family of Yehuda leading to David. Remember, please, that one of the things that we know about Ezra is that Ezra is interested in showing Am Yisrael for all generations that there has to be a malchut that comes from the family of David. That is one of his great purposes in putting together Sefer Divrei Yamim. He is reviewing history to show us that it was inevitable, totally inevitable. So nice to see you. That the king, the eternal king of Am Yisrael, should be David, Melech HaKayam. And so the first thing he does is he takes care of the lineage of David. He shows us first directly how we get to David. Then he gives us that spiritual, difficult to follow connection that comes from Miriam and Kalev that we can't quite hold on to. That doesn't really fit any place in a realistic fashion. But there's something there, spiritual for sure. And then he goes, strangely enough, to Shimon, Shevet Shimon. And the greater purpose of what he's going to do is to show us how all the Shvatim came into Eretz Yisrael, settled in what was supposed to be their Nachalah, and then either stayed there, moved, conquered extra territory. What really happened to them? It's really a story of Aliyah. We're going to talk about it next week because we're having a Shavuah Shel Aliyah here at the Israel Center. But that's really, this fits in perfectly because the large purpose is to show that that's our place. That's where we have to go. That's where the Shvatim need to settle. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. But he has that underlying plan as well that we need to follow as we continue with the other Shvatim as well, which is he is also eliminating. He's saying, Yehuda, that was the lineage of the eternal king. Shimon, and I'll show you why. I'll show you why. They didn't really deserve to produce the eternal king of Israel. Why did he take Shimon after, you remember? Why did he take Shimon after Yehuda? Because Shimon's Nachala was in the middle of Yehuda. Remember, Shimon's Nachala was scattered. He had individual cities. And Shimon did leave. He told us that. And by the way, if you want to make comparisons, in Yehoshua, Perek Chaf Aleph, there is the same story of Shimon deciding to leave. They were looking for more land because Yehuda was expanding at a greater rate than they were. And they were kind of spilling over into their Nachala, into their boundaries. And so Shimon found a city up north that was a quiet place. And it's interesting, the language is very similar in both places, in Yehoshua and in Divrei Yamim. If you want to look at the Holy Art Scroll, then they have a chart. They actually have the psukim side by side. They're very close in most places. The story of Shimon moving up north, finding a nation, a small nation that was living in peace, conquering the land and moving into that land and being then part of the Aseret HaShvatim up north. And because then we go to the Bechor, we go to Reuven, and we did the lineage of Reuven. And remember again, that underlying thing is this is the lineage of Reuven. He's the Bechor, but he did not become the king. He did not become the leader. And he takes the lineage of Reuven and a short lineage of the half-shevet of Menashe that lived in the upper northeast with them, the area of the Golan, and tells us they lived there until the time that the kings of Ashur rose and started conquering Eretz Yisrael, conquering the Aseret HaShvatim, starting with those Shvatim, Reuven, Gad, and Chasi Shevet Menashe that lived in the northeast and exiling them to the far distant northeast of the world. Up through India, way, way to the east. There's a code term that the Nevi'im use. Chalach Habor Hara Unahar Gozan. That is repeated again and again in Yeshayahu, that little code term. Chalach Habor. When you see that, you know it's the land that the ten tribes were exiled to. At any rate, we are now going to begin a discussion of Levi. We're going to Levi. All of today will be taken care of Levi and the Kohanim. There's no question. It will, all of today, Levi and the Kohanim, the lineage of Shevet Levi and the Kohanim. I neglected to tell you something that I noticed in Parshat HaShavua. There I was sitting and listening to Parshat Bereshit and Shul. Remember, we were very puzzled, and Tammy asked the question 3 weeks ago, I think it was, maybe more. Tammy said, how come when there are women mentioned, it refers to them as the sister? It doesn't just say these were the children of, it says this was the sister of. And you know what I noticed? I noticed in Parshat Bereshit that it said, Va'achot Tuval Kayin Na'ama. It really jumped out because it jumps out of the text anyway, because we know that Na'ama was the wife of Noach. Naama brings down the only little piece of genetic material from Cain into the world as it remains.
That's
where the lineage of Cain stops. That's the lineage of Cain stops, but Naama, in other words, whatever lineage, whatever genetic material, is the only term I can use, comes through into the world once everybody in Cain is finished, except for, everybody's a descendant of Cain, except for this Naama. But it said, the point for us is that it said Achot. So when we quoted the last time we met, which I cannot remember when it was, when we quoted the Ramban that says that usually in the Torah, that is the normal way to refer to the daughters because they were associated with the brothers in the family. Remember all the halachot that if a father dies and he leaves sons and daughters and the sons inherit, but they need to take care of the daughters so that they don't go beg by the petachim, they don't go beg by the people's homes, by their doorways.
Asa married.
Yes.
And I think maybe that Yishmael wasn't alive anymore, and I'm wondering what coming is. I don't remember what the reason was, but I remember that there's.
It's there also. It's all over. Remember that with Asher, in other words, with Serach Achotam. So if you really look, I'm sorry, David, you wanted to say something?
No, it says like Achot Nevayot, right?
We know Achot Nevayot. Right. But there was also this Achot for Serach, because I did a whole study on Serach Bat Asher. She's fascinating. Serach Achotam, three times. Every time she's mentioned, she's the sister. So it would seem none of the Mefarshim are impressed. They basically say that this was the normal way of referring to them in the family.
But there's and, another thing, that when you do a Shidduch,
excellent. I love that. That's so good. Did everybody hear that? Maybe you didn't hear it at home, so I'm going to repeat it. Brenda reminds us that when you do a shidduch, then you have to look at the kallah's uncles, because they're supposed to be a strong genetic influence from the brothers of the mother. So when we have the achot put in, we see that that's a very important relationship. And so it just hit me when we were doing, when we turned all the way back to the beginning of the Torah and began once again, that there it was right in front of our eyes, the achot, Tuval Kayin, Naama. In every case that it's mentioned that way, there is something specific about the woman. Either she's going to appear again, she's going to appear medrashically, something about the woman in this case, of course, Naama married Noah. Okay, I wanted to make sure to do this. And let's look, Bavakasha, at B'nai Levi. So we are up to Divrei Yamim, Aleph, Perek Hey, Pasuk, Chaf Zayin. B'nei Levi, Gershon Kahatu Merari. We know that from Shmot. The sons of Levi, Gershon Kahatu Merari. Uvnei Kahat, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, V'Uziel. I used to put that on charts in seventh grade all the time. Yes. The children of Kahat are Amram. Amram, we know, he's the father of Moshe, Aaron, actually Miriam, Aaron and Moshe. And Yitzhar was the father of Korach, good. And Hebron, we don't know very much about. In fact, almost nothing. I think there's a Rashi that says that he died young in Shemot. And Uziel was, if you remember, Elzaphan ben Uziel was the person that was appointed Nasi of Shevet Levi, and that's what really, with the straw that broke the camel's back, with Korach. It said Korachov. He said, wait a minute, Uziel's the youngest son. What's with me? Am I chopped liver? And so that was, so we know those names. Uvnei Amram, I just wanted to test you before. Aaron, Moshe, Miriam. Uvnei Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Itamar. Elazar, Holidet, Pinchas. Yes. What? There's no Achotam. It just said Miriam. Very interesting. Oh, yes, it does. Wait a minute. It says, no, I'll tell you what it says. Vatadaber, wait a minute. No, not over there. It says, wait a minute. Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achot Aaron. Et Hatov Biyada. Remember? Yes, that's good. I want you to know I like when you do that because you're remembering the connections that we have already. You're bringing all the connections to mind. It's important. It's very important. And so we have, where are we now? Elazar holidet Pinchas, Pinchas holidet Avishua, Avishua holidet Buki, Buki holidet Uzi. Please notice the lineage that we're doing is Elazar to Pinchas. So what is that? That's the lineage of? Kohanim. Exactly. We are going through the lineage of Kohanim. And there is a machloket between the Mefarshim as to whether who here, is this a list of only Kohanim Gedolim or not? And one of the things that you can do, there's going to be within this perek and the next, there'll be another list of the descendants of Aharon. And I just taught the perek in Ezra again that we learned a long time ago, in which Ezra gives his own lineage and takes it, his yichus, all the way back. None of the three lineages that I'm mentioning of Kohanim Gedolim, of Kohanim, match. There are many names, like for instance, there's Buki and Uzi. Obviously, you're going to remember that, right? It sort of sticks in your mind. Those appear in all those lists. However, some of the others do not. And so we are not at all sure, we are not at all certain here which of these people served as Kohanim Gedolim or not. And there is one specific area, let's see if we can pick it up as we do the reading, one specific area in which there is somebody who is strangely not mentioned, whom we know is a Kohen Gadol. We know, and we have to see the reason why he's not mentioned here, and why there is then this little confusion between all of the lists of the lineage of Aaron. V'Uzi, I'm up to Pesach Lamed Bet, my friends. Uzi holidet Zerachia, Uzerachia holidet Merayot, Merayot holidet Amaria, V'Amaria holidet Achituv, Achituv holidet Sadok. Sadok is a name that is going to be repeated pretty often in the lineage of Kohanim. This Sadok ben Achituv that we have here, v'tzadok holidet Achima'at, I'm leaving it here for a moment. This Sadok was the Kohen Gadol, if I'm not mistaken, of the first Kohen Gadol in the first Beit HaMikdash, was Sadok ben Achituv. Just to put it in a historical context at the moment. Achima'at holidet Azaria, v'Azaria holidet Yochanan. Yochanan holidet Azaria, another one. Hu asher kihen babayit asher bana Shlomo b'Yerushalayim. Wait a minute. What did I just tell you? I thought I said Sadok ben Achituv. Oh, yeah. Sadok ben Achituv was the Kohen Gadol who in the time of David, when David came back to Yerushalayim after the whole Mered, the rebellion of Avshalom, then Tzadok, the Urim v'Tumim answered Tzadok. David asked the question, should I go out to war? The Urim v'Tumim answered Tzadok, which established him as the legitimate Kohen Gadol at the time. But the other Kohen Gadol, I can't remember his name now, Eviatar came to me. Eviatar, thank you, Brenda. Eviatar was not really removed from his place until Shlomo built a Beit HaMikdash and officially placed Tzadok in his position as the first Kohen Gadol. But it would seem that this Azariah, so according to Rashi, that Azariah is Tzadok under another name. In other words, the Mefarshim deal with this and say, we don't really know, we are not exactly sure who this Azariah is. And notice we're going to come to another Tzadok. Listen. Vayoled Azariah et Amaria. Va'amaria holid et Achituv, another Achituv. Va'achituv holid et Tzadok, v'Tzadok holid et Shalom. V'Shalom holid et Chilkiah, v'Chilkiah holid et Azariah. We know the name Chilkiah. He was a Kohen Gadol during the reign, I believe, of... hold on, what's his name? Rega? Now that was, hold on. Yeah, no, I know, but Chilkiah, I believe, was during the time of, and I can't remember his name, the Melech Tzadik. Chizkiah. Vazaria holidet Saraya, Usraya holidet Yehotzadak. Yehotzadak is a name we know. Yehotzadak halach bahaglot Hashemet Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. This Yehotzadak was the last Kohen Gadol. The last Kohen Gadol of the first, of the first Beit HaMikdash. I didn't make that clear. It told us that he went in the Galut with Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda who was taken into Galut and probably either died on the way or died when he came to Bavel. The lineage of Kohanim, of Malachim, doesn't come from Tzidkiyahu. It comes from Yehoyachin, Yechaniah. They're either the first... Absolutely. There's no question. Remember, we learned again and again that when Ezra was doing this, he did not take the whole lineage. He took either the most important, the one that has some kind of history, somebody who is carrying the lineage, or the Kohen Gadol. That's why Chazal is so puzzled by this whole list. At any rate, this Yehotzadak is the one that went into Galut, Biyad Nebuchadnezzar, in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And I want to remind you that the first Kohen Gadol of the second Beit HaMikdash was a certain Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. So yes, it was the son of this Yehotzadak. Remember, it's only 70 and then another 14 years between the two. And so the son of this Yehotzadak became the Kohen Gadol when we built the second Beit HaMikdash. Now, who was strangely missing from this list? This Azariah, who was the name Azariah, comes up many times. And he's the one that's really kind of like everything hangs on him. Because we don't know who this Azariah was. Many of these people were Kohanim Gedolim. We don't know who some of the others were. Who's missing? That we know was a Kohen Gadol. Early on. Eli. Excellent. Now, why is Eli not here? Is a very, very strange question. However, if we look back at this list, we will understand it. Because I want to go back for a moment I'm not sure this will clarify, my friends. It might confuse, but it does remind us of things that we learned. Remember the days that we learned Shmuel? And it was so pleasant. Shmuel is so wonderful to teach. Sometimes we enjoy it so much that we don't really realize the complications that occur in the Sefer. Or we realize the complications, but we're still so fascinated, I think, by what goes on.
Is Eli in the other list? Is he in the other two lists?
No.
Neither.
No. It's interesting. He is not going to appear. He does not appear in the list that Ezra gives in his own Sefer, or in the next list that's going to come up here, and I'll tell you why. Because we are taking the lineage, really, of Kohuna Gadola that comes from Pinchas. I want to remind you that in Parshat Pinchas, Pinchas was given, remember, the Brit Kohuna Gadola. Pinchas was promised that the Kohanim Gedolim would descend from him all through history. That was Pinchas' gift, or shall we say reward, for what he did with the Kazbi, Batsur, and Zimri, with the big chait of the Benot Midian and Benot Moab at Baal Peor. And remember, Pinchas took the action into his own hand, the initiative, and killed them, the two of them. And so, this Pinchas was promised a Brit Kehuna Gedola. But if you remember, Pinchas ran into some trouble late in his career, because according to Chazal, Pinchas lived for a very, very long time. There is the underlying, I'm only mentioning this to confuse you further, the underlying Midrash Pinchas Hu Eliyahu, that there's some Gilgul Nishamot that Pinchas really became Eliyahu. But along the way, Pinchas, during the time of Yiftach, remember our cute little friend Yiftach, who made a vow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, if you will help me be victorious in this battle, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that comes out of my house. And Chazal say, wait a minute. We have Hatarat Nedarim. Even if there would have been a vow, it's not really a legitimate neder, but even if we say it's a legitimate neder, where was the Kohen Gadol? And Chazal says something amazing. The Kohen Gadol, who was still Pinchas, said, if he wants me, he knows where I am. And Pinchas said, if he wants me, he knows where I am. And between these two people and a little bit of arrogance on their part, we had a terrible loss of something. We're not sure, because the Medrash never tells us clearly what happened to Bat Pinchas. Bat Yiftach, sorry. But in other words, he fell down on the job here. The Kohuna Gedola was taken away from the lineage of Pinchas for a little while, and it was given to the lineage of his brother, Elazar Itamar. One of the descendants of Itamar is our wonderful friend, Eli. But please remember that Eli himself had sons that were not particularly successful. And so unfortunately, the beginning of Shmuel, one of the first nevuot that is given to Shmuel is, go tell Eli.
It is the first,
you're right. Go tell Eli that the Kohuna Gedola will be taken away from him and his descendants forever. It's going to revert back to the family of Pinchas. And so that is some, according to the Malbim, that is the confusion that's going on here. For whatever reason, Ezra does not want to mention Eli, and I believe Eli's father also was Kohen Gadol, I'm not sure. But he doesn't want to mention that little hiccup in the middle of the lineage of the Kohanim Gedolim, and so he goes to some other Kohanim in the lineage of Pinchas that were not Kohanim Gedolim. Why there are some differences, we don't know. It's like so many other things in Ezra. There was an interesting, a very, very interesting Malbim that I think we took last time we met, in which the Malbim says simply, Lo Yodim. We really are not sure here. And there was an interesting point that I'm teaching Ezra, as I mentioned before, where he also makes that same comment in Ezra. And he says, we don't know these lists of names. Oh yes, he said something else. That's what I was almost forgot. He said when Ezra was checking the Yichusim, he used different texts because he found different manuscripts and that some of them did not match. And he tries, because we know that one of the purposes of Ezra in all of his farim, Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim, he is very concerned with Yichus. Ezra wanted to leave a heritage of that everybody that was in Eretz Yisrael at the time that he lived knew who they were, who they were descended with, whether they were really Jews, whether they were really Kohanim, whether they were really Nevi'im. Everybody was in a category. That was one of his purposes. Okay, now let's go back. Okay, we are going to see some interesting things. Perek Vav. We got to Perek Vav in Divrei Hayamim, where we go to Bnei Levi again. Notice? Gershon Kahatu Merari. But now we're going to Elishmot Bnei Gershon, Livni Vishimi. Uvnei Kahat, Amram v'Yitzar v'Chevron v'Uziel. We went to Kahat again, just mentioned. Uvnei Merari, Machli u'Mushi. That's another one of those names you don't forget. Mushi. Ve'ele mishpachot ha'levi la'avotehem. And now we are going to go into the families of Levi by their father's house, by their different divisions, the different families. LeGershon, he gave us an introduction to tell us we are going to now analyze the different families. LeGershon, Livni, Bno Yachat, Bno Zima, Bno. Okay, excuse me, I read it wrong. LeGershon, Livni b'no, Yachat b'no, Zima b'no. Three sons. Yoach b'no Mor, Ido b'no, Zerach b'no, Ye'atrai b'no. Those were the from Gershon. B'nei Kahat, Aminadav b'no, Korach b'no. I thought Korach was the son of Yitzhar. This is another Korach. Asir b'no. El Kana Beno, Ve'ev Yasaf Beno. By the way, El Kana was a descendant of Korach. So Korach is omitted here, but he is there in that lineage. Ve'asir Beno, Tachat Beno, Uriel Beno, Uziah Beno, Ve'Shaul Beno. Not our Shaul, the king of Yisrael. He was from Shevet Binyamin. This is another Shaul. Uvnei Elkana, Amasai v'Achiyamot, Elkana, Bnei Elkana, Tzofai b'no v'Nachat b'no. This Tzofai is in the right lineage. Eliav b'no, Yerocham b'no, Elkana b'no, Uvnei Shmuel. We just had, even though it's not clear at all, the lineage of Shmuel. We have some of it when we are introduced to Shmuel's father Elkanah at the very beginning by Yeish. The very beginning by Yeish, he's called the real man, Ushmo Elkanah. Ben, I can't remember now, wait a minute. I should know that pasuk. It'll come to me in a minute. But at any rate, it does go into the lineage of Shmuel. ובני שמואל הבכור ושני ואביה. It's a very strange pasuk, and what all of the mafarshim say, Vashni is not a name, it's Vashni, and the second one. That means that the first one is not really mentioned. The name of the first one is not really mentioned. And so it tells us, Vishaini ze Yoel. We have in Sefer Shmuel, later on, his sons were Yoel and Aviah. Those were the names of his sons. They were also not particularly well known in their time. There is a question, a Midrashic question, as to whether this Yoel, the son of Shmuel, is identical to the Yoel HaNavi. The Navi Yoel, who appears in Treasar, third Navi in Treasar, is not identified as to any time. It just tells us the story of Yoel, that there was a Ra'av, it was a time that there was a great famine in the land. We have no idea who he is, but according to the occurrences, what happens in Sefer Yoel, the feeling of Chazal is that he really lived at a later time. Nevertheless, there is a kesher. There's a question in their minds as to whether this Yoel later on really did deserve to get Nevuah on his own.
Because I think that the sons of Shmuel were also not just like the sons of Eli were not the sons of Shmuel. They didn't go around. Shmuel used to go around.
That parak that talks about that Shmuel would make a sibub, I can't remember. Something went, Uchuvata, when he went back, when he came back to Ramah. There's a parak that talks about the fact that Shmuel traveled around the whole country. He was really a traveling rabbi. He went through the entire country and taught people. And it tells us in that parak that his sons did not. They did not follow his footsteps. Sorry, just going to take a little drink. Yes? Terry.
Just worried that you haven't coughed before.
Oh, you were worried that I wasn't coughing? Sometimes I go through a half hour or so without coughing. Not all the time, but sometimes. Okay, we're fine. I have a cough drop in my mouth. It's not doing its trick. Okay, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Dalet. B'nei Merari, Machli Livni B'no, Shimi B'no, Uza B'no, Shima B'no, Chagia B'no, Asoya B'no. Ve'ele Asher He'emid David al Yedei Shir Beit Hashem Mimenoach Ha'aram. Such an interesting pasuk, because we know what it means, but it seems to be so awkward. These are the people that David appointed to be among those Levim that sang from the time Manoach Aaron, from the time that the Aaron came to rest. At any rate, I wanted to read this Malbim about this, for such an awkward pasuk about what's going on here, just to remind you of what went on with this Aron. What are we talking about? Remember the story. It's in Shmuel Bet. One of the first things David did when he was accepted as king by the entire nation. Remember that David ruled in Hebron only over Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin for 7 years. And then he was accepted by all of the Shvatim. He moved to Mesura David, which was Yerushalayim of today. And what was one of the first things that he did? He brought the Aron into Yerushalayim. And we have these, says the Malbim, Haniskar min pasuk yud chet ad lamed gimel. So the Malbim wants us to know it's the names after this Pasuk. These Leviim were appointed, Memunim al-Hashir, were appointed to be the singers among the Leviim, Mimenoach ha'aron, from when the Aron came to rest, May 8, Shenoch ha'aron ba'ohel, Asher natalo David. From the moment that the Aron came to rest in the ohel that David set up for it in Yerushalayim. This is, he's making a very important point. The Malbim is saying, listen, the Ezra here is making an important point, the point that I just made to you. The first thing that David did, David, who knows how to be a king, is what he's saying. He knows how a melech Yisrael has to act, knew that the first thing that he had to do, if Yerushalayim is going to be the Bira, the center, the capital city of Am Yisrael, then it has to have some presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. And so, if you remember, the Aron had been kept in the house of a Levi, in, remember, Kiryat Yearim. Because, remember what happened with the Aron? In the time that Eli, just before Eli died, that terrible battle that Eli's sons and then Eli died in, that terrible, terrible battle, the Aron had been taken out to battle. The Aron with the Luchot in it had been taken out to battle. It had been captured by the Plishtim. The Plishtim could not handle the Aron because it caused all sorts of diseases from city to city. In fact, their idols fell over if they put it in their sanctuaries. And so the Plishtim finally decided to send it back to the Jews. And remember what happened? They put the Aron on a new wagon with parot, with cows or oxen that had never, actually parot, it was females, that had never carried a burden before, and they brought it back close to the area of Beit Shemesh. Yep. All kinds of things come up. And they just left it. In other words, they let the cows, the nursing cows, did not listen to their calves who were calling to nurse, but took the Aron, left it in the middle of the field, and there were some Jews from Beit Shemesh that were in the fields, either harvesting or whatever they were doing, and they didn't know how to handle the Aron. And it was set aside for a while. And then David decided the thing to do was to bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. And remember, they forgot how to carry the Aron. And there's that terrible story of Achio and Uzzah, the two Leviim that were appointed to accompany a new wagon. But what does the Torah tell us about how the Aron has to be transported? Al-Kateif, right? It was carried by the Leviim. And so they were killed. David understood that he had made a terrible mistake. This is David. And once again, the Aron was put aside until they reviewed all the halachot, learned very well what to do, set up an entirely different type of ceremony, and David finally brought the Aron, limnucha, as it says, v'nach. It came to rest in Yerushalayim. He set up a tent because the Aron should not be just out in the open, not covered. And it remained that way. Karbanot were made in Yerushalayim. It remained that way until Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash. And we know that story about bringing the Aron into the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, Vayhi ben Soha Aron? No, the other one. Su'u Sha'arim Rashechem. V'inasu, remember this, the gates wouldn't open. It's in the middle of the dedication ceremony. Shlomo wants to bring the Aron and the gates wouldn't open. And he called out, Zusharim Rashechem, you know, V'hinasu pitchei olam, V'yavo melech ha-kavod. And Chazal say that Shlomo said to the gates, in the zechus of David, my father, please, Se'u Sha'arim Rashechem, lift up you gates. And in the zechut of David, because he was David, because he understood that the Aron had to be brought back, the Aron was finally able to be brought into the Beit HaMikdash. But what it's telling us here also is that it was David, we're going to really learn all that. At the end of Divrei Yamim Aleph, we will see that David, towards the end of his life, sets up all of the lists the Mishmo wrote,
the watches
of the Levium, who was singing when. In other words, he took care of. We didn't learn that in Shmuel. Remember the end of David's life in Shmuel? He's not really an active man. He is totally different here. So he's telling us ahead of time, he's giving us a glimpse and saying, David set up all of these Levium that we are going to read in these next psukim. He set them up in their positions on their watches when they sang in the Beit HaMikdash. We'll see that he also set up the gatekeepers, the Levium, who had the other jobs as well. So let's do a few more names. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayihiyu Mishartim Lifnei Mishkan Ohel Moed Bashir Ad Benot Shlomo Et Beit Hashem Birushalayim, which we just mentioned, and they served before the Mishkan of Ohel Moed by singing until Shlomo built the Beit Hashem, because then they had a place inside. In other words, while there was just the Ohel Moed, they stood outside to do the singing. Vayamdu kamishpatam al avodatam. And at that point, they continued serving according to their laws by their different types of service, by what they were set up to do. In other words, when they sang, what was their specific time? Ve'ele ha'omdim uvnehem. And these were the ones that were appointed and who did fulfill their appointment and their children. Mibnei HaKahati, from the sons of Kahat. Haman, we know that name from some Tehillim. HaMishorer, Ben Yoel, Ben Shmuel. See? Good came out of that one. Ben Elkanah, Ben Yerocham. Notice we're going to do the whole lineage again. We're going to Shmuel ben Elkanah ben Yerocham ben Eliel ben Toach ben Suf ben Elkanah, another Elkanah, ben Machat ben Amasai ben Elkanah ben Yoel ben Azariah. We have an Azariah again, ben Zephaniah, ben Tachat ben Asir ben Eviasaf ben Korach. Ben, remember, Uvnei Korach lo metu, in Parshat Korach. These are the descendants of Korach. The descendants of Korach stood to sing in the Beit HaMikdash. It's one of the amazing turnarounds in history. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahat, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. So notice we did it backwards. We did a yichus here rather than a lineage. We went backwards. When we're talking about this Haman, we went all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Do you remember in Parshat Korach when it doesn't take it back to Yaakov Avinu? And there's that medrash that Yaakov Avinu begged when he says in the bracha, he says about Shimon b'Levi Yaqim, he says, Besodam al tavo nafshi. Don't let my soul be associated with their plans and their secrets. And so in Parshat Korach, the lineage of Korach is not taken back. to Yaakov. But here, where there is an entirely different point being made, we are talking about this Haman, who was one of the Levim that not only was a singer, but he actually composed as well. So we have the lineage taken all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Now we have Achiv Asaf. We had no Asaf also in the Mizmor of Yom Shlishi. Ha'omer al Yemino. He stood on his right hand. Asaf ben Berechyahu ben Shima ben Michael ben Baaseya ben Malkia ben Etni ben Zerach ben Adaya ben Eitan ben Zima ben Shimi ben Yachat ben Gershon ben Levi ben Levi. Hey, it's the end. We just took it back to Levi. This we went back to Levi when we talked about Asaf. And B'nai Merari, Acheihem al Asmol. So we have the actual thing. Haman is in the middle, and we have on his right side the descendants of Asaf, and on the other side the descendants of Merari, al Asmol, Eitan, Ben Kishi, Ben Avdi, Ben Maluch, Ben Chashavia, Ben Amatzia, Ben Chilkia, Ben Amtsi, Ben Boni, Ben Shomer, Ben Machli, Ben Mushi, Ben Merari, Ben Levi. So once again, it went all the way back. The legitimacy of these people who were set up in the time of David. Notice how we went through the lineage twice, forward and backwards. V'acheihem ha-Leviim. He's very careful here. Their brothers, Leviim, Nitunim, Lachol, Avodat, Mishkan, Beit HaElokim. The other Leviim, I want you to know, we're not leaving them out, but the other Leviim were not the singers. They were appointed to be in charge of the other jobs of the Leviim in the Mishkan and then later in the Beit HaMikdash, which were opening and closing the gates, which were purchases of the animals for Karbanot, which were really assisting the Leviim and all kinds, the Kohanim, Slicha, in all kinds of jobs in the Beit HaMikdash. And we now have, and we're not going to go into the whole list, it's telling us, Pasuk Lamed Daled, Va'aharonu Banav Maktirim al Mizbacha Ola, Va'al Mizbach HaKetoret, L'chol Melechet Kodesh HaKadoshim, U'lechaper al Yisrael, K'chol Asher Tziva, Moshe Eved HaElokim. So it's telling us, and we want to remind you, that there is another category that was made, and that other category that was made are that all the descendants of Aaron are the Kohanim, and yes, it's going to do Ezra is going to do another list here. Their job is to sacrifice or to burn incense on Mizbach HaOlah, where the sacrifices were made, and the Mizbach HaKetoret, that's the incense, that was the golden Mizbeach that was within Ohel Moed, and all of the holy work that took place within Ohel Moed, the Karbanot, the Ketoret, the Lechem, Hapanim, lighting the menorah, everything that took place within that area, the inner area of the Beit HaMikdash, and to atone on Am Yisrael exactly the way that it was commanded to us by Moshe. So I think that even though we just had lists here, I really found this very interesting because it really reminded us of so much that we had learned previously. And what Ezra is doing is he's putting things in place and in order. In other words, everything that he does, everything throughout the Sefer is, this is the way it needs to be. He is speaking very much to us. He is speaking very much to the people of his generation. He was really the great teacher, remember? The great teacher of his generation. Ezra came and he really brought Torah. He put Torah al kana. And he's saying, this is the way it has to be, people. Ezra came right after the second Beit HaMikdash was built. He came, there was already. And he is saying, the Beit HaMikdash alone doesn't do it. I am going to show you that everything else needs to be in place as well. So the entire Sefer is going to be this unbelievable lesson for us. And we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, continue and learn the rest of this Sefer, which I'm really looking forward to. So may it be a Shavua Tov, Besorot Tovot, from all and to all. Thank you very much.